Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, what do you got there?
This is the new Ping G430 Max 10K driver. It's next level, I'll tell you. It's so impressive. We all know that Ping help you play your best. I've been using them for years, and I wouldn't use anything else. In fact, this new driver, it's Ping's straightest and highest moment of impact driver ever.
Holy moly. So on the course, what's that going to mean? How's it going to help golfers?
Well, to put it simply, it means people are going to be hitting longer, straighter, and they're going to absolutely crack their drives off the tee. I could talk about it all day. It's that good. But the best thing to do, if you want to check out how impressive Ping's new G430 Max 10K driver is, just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting, and I'll see you out there with my Ping gear.
It's week 13 of the golfing calendar. And today, in a classic case of priorities being, well, a little out of whack, Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen have done bugger all prep for the show, but plenty of prep finding the right Chardonnay to drink during the show. Yeah, this could go pear-shaped. Pear-shaped with hints of citrus and full-bodied flavour, of course. So now, live from the Australian Golf Centre, home of the PGA of Australia and Golf Australia, this is Talk Birdie to Me. Here's Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
What are we drinking, buddy?
Oh, this is, we're talking Chardonnays the other day.
Yes, this is nice.
So a mate of mine has Shadowfax Winery, so he gave me some wines a little while ago, and this is their Chardonnay from the Macedon Ranges.
Well,
so
honestly, you cannot possibly recommend it more than what we've done. That is the most beautiful drop.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Shadowfax, the Chardonnay.
And we'll have to take a photo and tweet it out.
Yeah, we will. But yeah, this is the 19th hole, right? Yeah.
Technically, it's Talk Birdie.
Did you play 18 today? Or?
No, I didn't, but I'm glad you brought it in.
Okay.
Good stuff. Let's get going because, you know what, I've seen a little bit of feedback about the match play that they don't like it when there is World Cup-style groups before we get into the top 16. I am completely the other way.
Really?
I absolutely love that there are 16 groups of four. They play around robin, and then we get into the serious business. And you know why? Because pricks like you can't knock out the world number one. That's why. Finally, and we get rid of him the first week.
Finally, we disagree on something.
So you liked it. So you loved knocking him out.
One and done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's the way to go in match play. It's how I grew up playing round robin. I understand why they do it.
The reason they do it is because of you, Nick. And that is 100% an accurate statement, because they can't afford to have the number ones lose to somebody, shoot 68 and lose to a bloke who shot 67 in the first or second round because of so many. They've got to get so many rounds. So I think Rory McIlroy, for instance, this week played 123 holes.
Did he really?
Yep. I think Scheffler was next at 121. And I think the bloke who won, was his name Young? Young played 119 holes.
Actually, Sam Burns won.
Burns had a win. So there you go. So there is a really good thing there, isn't it?
Well,
the dream final they wanted was Scheffler McIlroy, and I didn't even really know who got to the
consolation.
Final.
Consolation. Well, Burns and Young are very outstanding. I mean, they're some great players, by the way. Young almost won the Open last year, but if you look at the updated world rankings, Scheffler is one, McIlroy two. So they played the consolation final. And the problem, it was a great week of match play. I think there's some outstanding matches. You know, we saw Rory McIlroy drive the green
on
18.
Incredible.
That was an amazing tee shot.
To 4 feet.
Jason Day went 3-0 in the group stage.
Lucas Herbert.
Standing golf.
Lucas Herbert went 3-0.
Oh, that's torture, by the way.
Can we talk about just Lucas Herbert just for 1 second?
Mm-hmm.
What did he shoot, 85, 89 or something at the Players' Championship? So 1 week earlier, he's in darker spot really, probably emotionally and with confidence that he'd ever been in, and comes out and goes 1-2-3 and wins every match.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening on Saturday morning. I was driving to the Gambi and I had PGA Tour radio on.
Oh, yeah.
And
I love that, don't you?
I do. I really enjoy it. So if you don't know what we're talking, if you're new to the podcast, you go to the PGA app and you click on video, and then when that page comes up, there is an audio thing. You click on audio, you put it through the car.
Beautiful.
And it's some of the best golf commentary you'll ever hear, and you don't really need the pictures if you're driving around. Anyway, I got in the car just as Lucas Herbert was lining up an eagle putt to go 3-0, and he holed it. And, you know, I was punching the air for him because that's a big deal. You know, to shoot a couple scores in the 80s and really have the tail between the legs and then come out to a tournament like a WGC and win 1-2-3, got beaten by McIlroy, but still monstrous.
Well, he's played the perfect format after shooting 89 or 85 or whatever he shot, because match play, the scores don't really matter. You know, you said earlier that you can shoot 68 and get beaten. You could shoot 78 and win. I mean, it happened to me in one of my matches back in the day. But I feel for Lucas because he got beaten by Rory in the round of 16. If he wins that match, I think that gets him into the Masters, because he finishes 51 in the world after this week. And top 50, this is the cutoff, gets you in the Masters in 2 weeks' time. That's brutal.
I see Minwoo Lee got in.
Yes.
He got into the top 50 in the world.
Yeah,
I put that on our WhatsApp earlier in the week.
He's number 47, so he's done really well. Jason Day, what an effort from him, by the way. So start of the year, he's ranked 115 in the world, starting the year.
Mm.
And now he's number 33. He moved from 37 to 33 after the match play, but he's played 7 events, hasn't finished outside top 20, 5 top 10s. Unbelievable. What a great effort. And he's got to be one of the favourites, because his history there, he's had he had a second there in 2011, third in 2013 when Scotty won.
Both chances to win, yep.
And then he was tied for fifth, I think, in 2019 when Tiger won. So he's playing some outstanding golf.
So you say he's one of the favourites.
Well,
but what people want to know is, can he win?
Mm.
If he finds himself after 3 rounds in the last group with someone like Scotty Scheffler or Jon Rahm or Rory McIlroy trying to complete his career grand slam.
So before you go on, if Jason Day was out of those three, he would love to be playing with McIlroy, because there's a lot of pressure on him to win this golf tournament. Scheffler, he's the last person you want to play with, because he won last year.
Yep.
He's obviously
he's on
number
fire.
One. And Rahm, well, you got a chance against him because he's never won the Masters, and it's a big deal because he's chasing, you know, history of Seve and Jose Maria as well, Olazabal, other Spaniards that have won there.
So keep his entire career in mind. He's got to world number one and then drifted away, changed his swing. We've seen the comeback this year. All the top tens in a row, great performance at the match play. If he finds himself in that situation with one of those three, is he mentally, we know physically he is, is he mentally capable of winning?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
As a former number one, you know you've been there, you know you've done it. He's won a major. He won the PGA at Whistling Straits.
Yep.
He's got good history there. Obviously, he hasn't worn the green jacket, but he's in a great space right now. And I think there's almost no pressure on him, I don't think, because he's just playing solid golf, playing well. There's no expectation for him to win. But if he gets the chance, I'm really hoping he grasps it. And he's one of the best putters in the world. And you have to be a great putter around there, unless you, well, as I said before, I think Bubba Watson has won the Masters and he's not a great putter. But you know, when you can hit all the par fives in two and maybe some of the par fours in one, that certainly helps around there.
Tell me about this, please, because I've seen so many people, so many good players in that situation where they find themselves in the last group and they stand on that first tee in round four with the expectation and the 10-3 hit off time and they hit it into the media center. hello Stuart Appleby. So I remember Apps did that. And you've seen so many players retrieve goose and snap hook it off the first, and you've seen all that sort of stuff. Would it be as simple to say that if Jason does find himself in that situation, if he hits the fairway and then just hits the green and just two putts, then he's away?
Yeah. Well, the hardest walk on that golf course, they talk about the elevation and how hard it is to walk, you know, the golf course. And the hardest walk is from the practice green to the first tee.
Why is that?
the pressure. You can feel the atmosphere. It is absolutely electric. One of the most nervous times in my career was walking from, it's only a 10-yard walk, by the way. It's not very far, but it's like Moses parting the Red Sea. The gallery moves.
Yeah.
You go up there and they hand you your card and it's four please, Nick O'Hearn on the tee or whatever they used to call it. It's something
Nick
very
O'Hearn
simple.
Nick O'Hearn driving.
Yeah, something very, very simple in that regard. But just the history of that place, you know everyone's watching, all eyes are on you, and it's, I mean, if you ever do go, you got to see the opening tee shots on Thursday.
Yeah, beautiful.
Actually, we should find out. I wonder who's doing that this year because it's got to be Nicklaus, player, and is it Watson now?
I think Sorensen's involved.
Oh, really?
She was last year. Yeah.
Really?
I think Annika Sorensen. Well, because, yes, she was. Because of what's happened with the ladies' amateur, they've done it.
Okay.
And to bring her in and for her to hit a shot, now I don't know whether that's something new and she's going to be there. I think she should be. I mean, to me, she's the best. She's the best woman player we've ever seen. And the record speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Yep. I think she's number one. But I think she's perfect because she's young, she's full of life. And if you're trying to get more people to play the game and more females to play the game, seeing Annika Sorensen hitting off the first with, you know, who's going to be there? Jack?
Yep.
Tom.
Tom
Watson.
Gary.
Gary and Annika.
I don't think Gary's son will be there anymore,
no,
by the way, caddying for him. Do you remember that?
Holding up a sleeve of balls.
That's right, yeah.
No, that's not going to happen again this year.
No.
But I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, the history and the little, you know, nuances of that golf course and the way they do certain ceremonies around there is just almost second to none. I mean, when I was playing there, I think they had, we had Snead, Nelson.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the third. I think it was Arnie. Might have been Arnold Palmer. I remember playing the par three cop on Wednesday, teeing off on the first, and Wright said they're sitting there watching me. It was Byron Nelson.
No, unbelievable.
Thinking, this is one of the greatest players of all time. And he's sitting there going, oh, g'day, Nick, you know, Aussie, left-hander. Good luck.
Can I tell you my Sam Snead story?
Please.
At the Masters.
Okay.
So in 2002, I was still playing, but I was gone. And I was working at that stage at 3AW, and the boss of Channel 7 or Channel 9 at the time, Jono, Ian Johnson, who just passed away recently, he listened to 3AW, and I got a phone call, could you go to the Masters? And I said, yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to go to the Masters. And he goes, well, we really want you to take over and be the commentator.
You'd never been?
Never been, not in 2002. Oh. In the end, I had a business where we used to take people. I've been about 14 times since.
Right.
So this is my first trip. I get there and because I'm a commentator, you know, I get taken to these beautiful places. One day I was in there and Jim Nance was practicing.
Oh.
And Jim Nance doesn't read off an auto cue. It was amazing. I was in this room and Jim Nance gets someone to speak and then he just copies what they say.
Really?
So I'll do it with you. Okay. Uh-huh. I'll do it with you.
Sure.
So you're Jim Nance.
Yep.
And I'm his, let's call him the copy boy.
Okay.
Welcome to Augusta. All right. So he'd whisper it and he would start talking.
Just
before
copying
the
exactly.
Just copying it.
Wow.
And it was amazing to be in there. And next time you listen to Jim Nance at the Masters doing this, you'll notice it. It's so slow.
Yeah.
And the gaps are so big and the sentences are quite short.
Well, his opening
but it
is,
sounds majestic because he's not reading.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
And what's his famous opening? Hello, friends.
Whatever
it is.
Yeah. Very good. Anyway, so they take me in there. You know, I'm getting a tour from this guy who's going to help me with the media all week. And he's about to give me my pass so I can go stand behind the tree and interview all the players and blah, 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 blah. He goes, would you like to go in the clubhouse? I'm going, yeah, I would love to go in the clubhouse. Thank you. This would be great. So in we go. And he goes, have you ever met Sam Snead? And I said, no, I have not met Sam Snead. And he goes, well, listen, he's just done the ceremony for hitting off and he should be in the bar because he spends most of the morning in the bar. So I'm going, oh, this is unbelievable. You know, I'm going to meet Sam Snead for the first time ever.
Yep.
So in we go. And he taps Mr. Snead, goes, Mr. Snead, I'd like you to meet this young man from Australia who's doing the broadcast back to Channel 9. And Sam Snead turns around. He's still got his hat on. And I've put my hand out to shake hands. and he's put his hand out, he's spun on this spinning chair and fell off his chair onto the ground. So instead of me putting my hand out like this to shake his hand, my hand's gone down to help him pick him up off the ground. So I'm picking up Sam Steen off the ground. Dear. Anyway, we all had a beautiful laugh about it, but... I'll never
he was overwhelmed to meet you, basically.
No, he was on about his 15th gin and tonic, he was drunk.
Oh, wow.
He was drunk.
Oh, that's classic.
The great Sam Snead.
Yeah.
Bit like we're going to be if we keep on going with this Chardonnay, which is
really
nice.
Easily, I must admit.
I can't wait for the Masters. I really can't. I'm the same every year. I'm a kid, not at least. I'm glad that Minwoo Lee's playing. I'm glad that Jason Day's playing well. Adam Scott could be interesting to see what he does. But I'm also very, very much looking forward to Bozio, our girl who's playing in the amateur as well.
Yes, Justice.
Justice is playing in the amateur beforehand, so they play three times, three rounds, and then the last round is at Augusta.
How good.
Imagine if an Australian woman won that championship.
That would be...
I want to ask you, how big a news would that be? Would that be front page on every paper or would that be back page? It should be.
It should be back page.
It should be back page on every single paper in the country if that happens.
Because it's historic that they're letting, obviously, the women play. They're given the history of the club and everything like that. And they do have female members now, which is fantastic. But the other thing is, this is quite Harrison Crowe. Amateur is playing as well.
Yes.
Harrison, and will he stay in the crow's nest?
Because that's right.
Harrison pardon the pun, right? So, which is the room up top of the clubhouse for all the amateurs. And then the other one, which I'm really looking forward to obviously playing, is Cameron Smith.
Yeah.
Who, at number five, still in the world. He hasn't played a world ranking event in how long, I don't know. Form hasn't been great, but I want to see how he's going to go because preparation hasn't been ideal. Unfortunately, the next LIV golf event the week before the Masters is in Orlando where they're playing on Bermuda greens. Bermuda grass, just the worst preparation ever. But I'm sure he'll have his ducks in a row and hopefully he'll put up an outstanding effort there.
What's the guarantee for getting as many people watching around the world as possible? Is it as simple as this? John Rahm and DJ in the last group.
Ooh.
Rory McIlroy. And let's say
Patrick Reed.
Oh, Patrick Reed. Thank you. So we got Rory and Patrick in the second to last group. And then you got Scheffler and Brooks Koepka in the third last group. So you've actually got LIV golfers in. Could you imagine? No one in the world would watch golf. That would be the biggest audience golf had ever played in front of if that somehow played out.
The only other thing bigger than that is if Tiger is in the last group amongst it as well, by the way.
I forgot that he's playing.
Come on, Tiger's playing.
I forgot that he's
only
playing.
Only the greatest ever, right? So, yeah.
God.
Didn't you beat him once?
Oh, maybe a couple of times.
Yes, a couple of
that's
times.
Right. Which is why they're apparently getting rid of the match play. So, which we started off on that avenue with the match play, but it's a shame it's going. I mean, you grew up playing match play. Yeah, I grew up playing it. I love the format. I don't enjoy the round robin, but I understand why they did it. And they need to bring it back. Remember watching the match play at Wentworth, the world match play, what it was called back then? Yeah, I mean, how good was that?
It was the best thing. You could sit up all night watching it at Wentworth and just the names. It was basically, in the end, you know what killed the tournament? It ended up being the IMG match play.
Yep. They played 36 a day, by the way.
And in the end, they only invited the IMG players got a hit there. I'm not sure. That was kind of the end of the world match play instead of actually getting the best players.
Yeah.
Something popped up on Twitter today, actually, and it was Nick Faldo hitting a one iron, fading it around the corner to close and eagled the last
on
play. Played the last seven holes, seven under the BD in Woosnam.
Oh.
And they showed it. And I don't know what it is, but if you've never been there, Wentworth and the other one, Sunningdale as well, if you ever get to hit a golf ball at those golf courses, the echo is the most beautiful noise that you'll ever hear anywhere in the world. Maybe Augusta's kind of got the same sort of echo.
Similar.
But those fir trees at both Sunningdale and Wentworth, I don't know what it is about the acoustics, but it is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's almost like you're not hitting down hallways on some of those holes, but every hole is separate from the previous one and you can't really see any other holes when you're standing on a fairway there. So maybe it has that echoey effect, but it's absolutely beautiful. And Augusta, because of the routing of the golf course and how it winds through the pine trees, it's just another sort of echo type atmosphere there. And, you know, when I played there, unfortunately, the roars were almost missing from the tournament because they made the golf course so difficult and the weather conditions weren't great at Augusta when I played. So, but the roars are back now for sure. And, geez, if we had those top players on the PGA Tour and then top LIV golfers, wouldn't that be something?
It would be amazing. Hey, just a little bit of feedback. This comes from Matt Cleary. Good fellow, Matt Cleary. Journo, he's Twitter.
Yeah, great bloke.
At Journo Matt Cleary. He's got Mark Allen, Nick O'Hearn. You boys see Cam Young taking line of sight relief on the first at Austin. Is the rule that if there's a TV stuff between the ball and the pin, you get a drop, blah, 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 even if you wouldn't be going that way? Did you see the shot?
I didn't, but I just before I came read the tweet.
Yeah. So it's a shot that you would probably do in match play, but a shot that you might not do if it was the first round in 72 holes.
Yep.
I think if I was the rules official, knowing that, and it was Steve Rentoul, an old Australian bloke who I used to play on the Nike tour with a million years ago. So Steve Rentoul was out there. He's the one. He took one look and didn't blink and said, no worries, it's a drop. But in reality, the gap was only about 18 inches wide and probably about 6 feet high.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the shot that was on. When he got to drop the ball, it's basically two club lengths. So you get one club length to clear the sight, then you have to drop in the second club length. And that gave him a big window.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any of those where a rules official came to you and said, you couldn't get through. You're not going that way, Nick. I know you're not going that way. Did you ever blue with anybody? I mean, I never did. I always found the rules officials understood that it's a different level. These guys are good.
I never had any blues, but I've seen it before where if there is something in your way, the official basically, if there's a chance you can hit it through there, and it's really more about can you take a swing at the ball.
Yep.
I've seen a couple of instances where balls have been under bushes and there's a TV tower in the way to the green, but there's no way they can get in there and
hit it. No way.
And I've seen other players, I can't remember who, going, well, no, it's in my way. Do you want me to get in there and show you that I can actually hit it? And so, you know, one of the officials said, sure, get in there and prove it. And maybe this player actually had a crack at it and then you know, couldn't hit the ball, obviously. So, but if you can have a swing at it and make contact and it's a possibility, then they almost have to give you the free relief for sure. So it's one of those scenarios in that regard.
I've seen rules officials, hello, Trevor Hurden, say no. The people. Trevor Hurden, who now works at Golf Australia and he does all the tournaments around here, he was pretty tough. And
Trevor was great.
Trevor was great. I saw him. He disqualified Nick Faldo 1 year. We were playing a tournament in Bali, and Nick was about six shots in front. And something happened the day before. Craig Parry removed the stone. Nick Faldo saw Craig Parry remove a stone, got to a bunker, removed the stone, and then Trevor got him for removing that stone because Parry did the wrong thing the day before.
But wasn't picked up on it, so he was okay.
It was something along the lines of that. Trevor saw what happened, and he went and disqualified Dick Faldo with not many holes to go. And he has miles in front. But I've seen Trev eyeball someone and say, mate.
Yeah, it's impossible.
What are you talking about? And there's no way you're going that way. Your line's over there and you've got nothing in the way. And he just jumped back in his car and moved on.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, whenever you have a ruling in tournament golf, you almost know straight away whatever official's coming towards you, you know that I'm going to either get relief here or no, there's no chance. And I mean, there's one famous story over on the European tour, and I'll tell it with less colourful language than it actually happened. But it's one of these stories which has done the rounds and the names have been confused over the years. But the gist of it was this. This player called for a ruling, and as soon as the official, I think it was a Spanish official, was coming towards him, he kind of knew that he wasn't going to get the benefit of the doubt here, if there was any doubt. And sure enough, he said, no, sorry, you're not going to get that ruling. And the player has said to the official, and I'll use less colourful language, but it was basically along the lines of, what would happen if I called you a dickhead?
Yeah.
You know that one?
Keep going.
And the rules official said, well, if you call me that, I'm going to have to fine you because that is abusing an official.
That's correct,
And the player said, okay, what happens if I think you're a dickhead?
That's right.
And the official said, well, I can't control what you think. And the player said, well, I think you're a dickhead. It was one of the all-time great stories on the European tour.
That is so good.
One of the best. I reckon it was Wayne Riley who did it.
I reckon
it was Wayne Riley. That's the way I remember it anyway. Hey, let's get to some more feedback with our tweets to the editor or whatever you're doing, if you're Facebooking us to the editor. General feedback on Nick beating Tiger twice is Rob Creedy. I'd be bringing that fact up every effing time if I was Nico. Weather's good today. Yes, it was a bit windy the second time I got woodsy. Very good, Rob.
I love it.
You're making us laugh. Another one. In response to Nick's masterclass on putting, right-handed putting. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's a right-hander these days.
I'm right-handed. As I tell people, left-handed got too easy, but no.
You still holding putts?
Oh, yeah.
You still
I feel like just as good as when I had the lock. So I was long left-handed. Switched when they brought the anchoring band in. I didn't like the unanchoring because I didn't want to do what some Champions Tour players are doing.
Yes.
Anchoring it against my chest.
That's good
and,
for you.
And I mucked around with different things, played 9 holes right-handed one day, and all of a sudden I had 14 putts for 9 holes right-handed.
Unbelievable.
And I thought, let's give this a go. So anyway.
Unbelievable.
That's how it came about. Okay, before I get to this one now, Box Hill Pro-Am, Marco. You said you were going to shoot 64 out there. How did you go?
I shot 74.
Oh, that's close. Just put a six in front
just
of it.
Just 9 shots. I didn't. I was practicing very well. Fairway Freddy, but just...
I saw you posted that swing on Twitter. It looked beautiful.
It did look good, mate.
You had
swinging
a big delay,
well.
Though, right, with the rain, big thunderstorm or storm came through.
Yeah, look, the Mighty Box Hill Golf Club did a great job putting it on. Unfortunately, I didn't go too well, but Jay McKenzie, who won in WA, a couple of years ago, WA PGA.
He did.
He shot, on one of his nines, the way it read, one of his nines, he had 8 threes and a 4. In
8
9 holes.
Threes and a 4. So that's 28.
And the 4 was a birdie.
I thought you were going to say a par for a second here.
No, the 4 was
that's
a
incredible.
Birdie. And he started his day with 5 birdies in a row. So that gets you rolling.
How good.
Gets you rolling.
Well, some of the feedback we got was on Jay McKenzie winning Box Hill, by the way. Yeah. Lee Datson, he said, must have got you, Marco, on a countback.
Yeah.
not quite. And Matt Kavanagh, it's amazing how much talent this guy must have to shoot 61. All the best to him moving forward. And Jay has a lot of he plays with no glove, I believe.
Plays with no glove. Unusual character.
Pretty relaxed, isn't he?
Very too relaxed for a pro. You know, where you're normally a little bit uptight.
Hard to get a lot out of him.
Yeah, impossible to get anything out of him.
You were doing the presentations, weren't you? How was the interview there?
I was asking the questions and giving the answers. he wasn't too bad. But I will say this. You know, the greens were perfect before the downpour. The downpour came and the greens were not perfect. And that made his score even more amazing. And that's not taking, the P1SS out of Box Hill because the course was unbelievable and to get that thing up and playing again was incredible. And, honestly, if you haven't been to Box Hill lately, go down and have a look. It is magnificent. Yeah. But that round was pretty bloody good.
61.
Yeah, it was pretty bloody good shoot a score like that on the greens that, have been rain affected.
So you played the Box Hill Pro-Am during
the
week.
Doing?
So
oh, that's right, you played Ainsbury.
I played the Ainsbury Pro-Am.
And what happened?
The Tasman, what was it called? The Tasman Logistics Services Ainsbury Pro-Am. I'm going to get a shout out to the sponsor there, Michael Oakley.
Don't tell me you shot 65.
No. Oh, God, no. No, you don't want to know what I shot. I gave a great clinic, though. It was
Did
a
you?
Fantastic
It was a good clinic. I'm going to look it up.
I shot loads. I shot 78-74. Unfortunately, my wrist isn't quite there yet. But
to be honest, I was surprised you were playing because your wrist is no good.
It's been sore. No, I only started hitting balls last week. But if you ever get a chance, go out. Greens were pure. Grand Marsh design, typical marshy sort of thing where they got a lot of different areas to put the ball in. But the whole community out there it was really good.
Hey, just before you've got my mind thinking over with what you just said. Graham Marsh. Has the best secret career in Australian golf.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think enough people actually understand how good Graham Marsh was. I would love to get him on and just do a little bonus content with Graham and talk about his career.
Oh, he'd be great.
Because he was the brother of a famous Australian wicketkeeper.
Oh, yes.
Swampy Marsh.
The late great.
Yes. So I would love to get him on and talk to him about golf, talk to him about his golf course design, which he's very good at, and more importantly, what he thinks of today's game.
All right, that's my mission. I'll give him a call and we'll get him on for the bonus content.
Hey, it's my turn for the top five this week and for the masterclass.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know what's coming.
So hole a little six-footer, you little right-handed putter these days, and I'll catch you on the 10th tee.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Mark, you are all across Watch My Numbers. You are all over this like a rash. It does look pretty impressive.
Look, one of the things I missed from my career that Nick enjoyed was having stats available. I never got it, except, of course, for Sand Saves, where I was number one. But I never got the look at how close I was hitting the five irons, where my miss was with my driver. I never got it. And it was always just in my head. I didn't actually know the facts. And with Watch My Numbers, it's no longer a feel thing. It is a factual guide to what you are doing in the game. And Nick, you knew how powerful that was playing in the US Tour.
Yeah, we had what was called ShotLink over there, but I wish I'd have had this sort of an app for myself because weirdly, I was very much a feel player and I kind of stayed away from the statistics. But looking back, if I'd have had this, who knows?
So it's got the pro level, it's got the elite level, it's got the low handicapper, the high handicapper. It covers everybody and your stats will be assessed at your level and you'll be pushed into the right direction because of the Watch My Numbers app. It's a beauty, folks, and I highly, highly recommend it.
I was on it the other day, and subscribers get extra bonus content, including videos from you, Mark, doing some stuff as well.
Why are you laughing, Ben? Why are you laughing?
Hey, by the way, do you do it during or the round or after?
Either way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can do it right there and then, or you finish your round and you put your own data in. So nice. You might have had a 150-metre 7-iron on the third hole at Metropolitan Golf Club. Put where you hit it from, you mark where it went to, and then you've got the real-time data at your fingertips anytime you want from that point forward.
Watch My Numbers helps you master your game and play smarter by using data.
You're listening to the Talk Birdie to Me podcast with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. If you're enjoying the pod, share it with a friend and help spread the word.
So, what'd you have, a little sausage roll or a chicken sandwich? What'd you get there at the halfway house?
A nice little wrap, but I've also just refilled my glass as well. So.
Okay, so what were you... it was easy to do. Yeah. Just say the name of that
Shardy again. Shadowfax Chardonnay. Fantastic drop.
So we got the top five, which is my top five. We've got the results, which you're the boss of the results.
Yes.
And I love the results because it's great to find out what our Australian kids have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a masterclass as well. So that's all coming up very, very soon. The top five things amateurs do wrong trying to copy the pros on TV.
The list could be endless.
Honestly,
in the top 10, do we?
I'll play with anyone at my home club. I put my name down, I just play with anybody, and it is incredible to watch some of the crazy stuff that I see. And I know the only place they could have possibly got it is what they've seen on TV.
Yep.
So, number five.
Okay.
If you're taking the pin out these days when you're chipping in the hope that you're going to chip the ball in, What the hell are you doing? One experiment after another has been done. Dave Peltz has done 1,000 of them. Leaving the pin in helps the ball go into the hole. So I get it, the pros, you know, you seem to take it out because they want to just signal that they want the highlight. But you don't have to do it.
Do you do it?
No, I used to.
I still do it.
I used to because it was a mental thing. Okay,
yes,
come
it
on.
It really locks you in.
I'm locked into doing it.
For most amateur golfers out there,
there is no
leave the pin in. Yeah,
there is no. It's leaving the pin in is going to help you. You can't chip in the first place, just leave it in. Number four, trying to hit the ball high with club head speed of around 95 miles per hour. You can't do it. My
well, you can. It's called a sky.
Stop trying to hit the ball high. If you have a problem and it's you're always on the back foot when you swing the club, I guarantee it's because you are trying to hit the ball high.
Yep.
Just be a low ball hitter. I mean, if you want to hit the ball a little bit high every once in a while, I get it. But if you're trying to hit high shots all the time, there is not one good player in the world who is trying to hit the ball high all the time.
Yep.
So please stop it.
No, I agree with that. And especially short game chipping and things like that, when they try and elevate the ball, let the club do the work.
Yeah, don't try and hit it high. Yep. Just don't do it. Number three, plumb bobbing. And by the way, Graham Marsh, who we spoke about before, was the master of plumb bobbing.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you, plumb
we'll
bobbing.
Ask him about it.
Yeah, we will. Plumb bobbing does not work. Plumb bobbing is a myth. Plumb bobbing was invented to slow your heart rate down. Not to read a green. I'm absolutely sure that's all it did. Who's that? Allenby? He's the last one, I reckon.
Allenby did it. Yeah,
Allenby was a plumb
young,
bobber.
Remember the young kid at the TPS Sydney? He was doing the
from
line.
From St Michael's.
The line bowling,
what do we call it?
Ball
plumb
bowling.
Plumb bowling. He was a plumb baller. Okay. This is an important one because I see it every once in a while and it's annoying. An amateur player hits a bunker shot. And he hits it somewhere kind of close. And you know what he does? He slows down the entire field by insisting he has to mark the ball because he doesn't want to be accused of backstopping.
Backstopping, yep.
Now listen, if you hit the ball to 8 feet, you don't have to slow everybody down. If you hit the ball to 4 feet, you don't have to slow everybody down.
Yep.
Particularly if you're playing with people who don't know what they're doing, because honestly, it doesn't affect anybody.
Well, I don't know if you – did you see the end of the LPGA event?
No.
Okay.
What happened?
Ooh.
Tell me.
Talking about backstopping, final hole.
Yes.
Céline Boutier, the French woman.
Yes.
Coming down 18, has to birdie the last to get in a playoff with Georgia Hall.
Right.
Par 5, misses the green front right, has a chip shot.
Yeah.
Her partner, a Korean lady, hits it up to about 4 feet.
Right. She doesn't chip.
Doesn't mark it. Right, she's wanting to go up there, but thought, oh, well, maybe Boutier. But so she sort of waited for Boutier to ask her to mark it, which she should. If I was Georgia Hall waiting, I would have ran over there and told her to mark it. She just got up and chipped it.
So now,
and it didn't hit the ball, but it came close.
Came close.
And she made the birdie, won in the playoff.
Righto.
Anyway,
but still,
got off track.
That's poor form.
In a professional tournament,
Last hole. 72nd hole.
Completely agree.
You know what? I could almost cop it.
Imagine
the second
playoff.
Hole of the tournament or something. Or, you know, I could almost cop it, no worries. But not on the 72nd.
Okay.
Not on the 72nd. But if you're an amateur doing it on the second hole of your round because
please, don't
slow everybody down.
Okay, fair call.
Just don't worry about it. And number one, and now this is going to be part of my masterclass a little bit later.
I've actually got some
Pythagoras done and some cosine and trigonometry, and I've done the homework. But if you are using the aim line on your ball from 30 plus feet and you're there lining it up, please don't do that.
Well, you know
it's
my thoughts on the line
ridiculous.
Anyway.
Ridiculous. And I'll explain a little bit later in the masterclass why it is so ridiculous. I've done the math.
Okay,
anyway,
good.
There's
I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, all right, good.
Okay, one thing that does bother me with social golfers, amateur golfers, is after watching the pros take about 2.5 minutes to line up a putt, and then they feel that they need to do that as well. That drives me nuts. All you need to do when you read a putt is look from behind and then walk to the low side, look from the low side.
Correct.
If you want to walk around the back, that's fine, but don't do it 3 times. And then if you have a line on your ball, don't remark it 14 times trying to get the line straight because it just drives me nuts.
Very good. One side only. I used to always just go to the left side. Oh, see, that's interesting.
Low side.
I maybe should do that.
Yes.
Because my entire career, I always just went to the left.
Okay. Here's a little tip
all the
for you,
time.
Mark.
So in the end, you get quite good at reading it from one side.
Sure.
But the low side, however, I don't mind, yeah.
And the reason being is if you read a book, do you tilt the book towards you or away?
No, you tilt it away.
You tilt it away, then you're on the high side, you can't see much. You tilt it towards you, well, then all of a sudden you're on the low side, you see everything. See?
If I could
you're learning.
Turn back time. Yeah. All right, very good. Let's get to the results. And this is, mate, I'm just throwing the microphone in your direction
just
here.
Throw it over to me. Right, so the obvious one with the PGA Tour match play, Sam Burns defeated Cameron Young. 6-5, unfortunately, so the television finished a bit early. The sponsors weren't too happy, and I guess that's why match play is going. But
did
anyway,
you see where the crowd was?
Where were they?
Crowd was watching the consolation.
Number one and two in the world.
See, can I just, before you go one step further, I think they should get rid of the consolation.
Oh, I agree.
Just get rid of it.
Last thing those guys want to do is go out and play another match.
Well, you've got all these people there who want to watch some great golf.
Yeah.
Don't let them watch the consolation.
No.
Make them watch the other game, the other one, and just split the money. Believe me, Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, even though they were playing for $300,000, could not have cared less about the $300,000. They just wanted to go home.
Yep.
So get rid of it.
Anyway, okay.
So I apologise.
Not a problem.
I'll give you the microphone back.
Best of the Aussies, Jason Day made the quarterfinal, and we spoke about Herbert and the other guys earlier. Yep. Okay. Yep. Also. Yep. PGA Tour had another event going on because this was a WGC, the Corrales Punta Cana Championship. Matt Wallace. This was a good win. Matt Wallace had a one-shot win from Nicholas Højgaard, the Danish golfer, who's one of the twins, Rasmus and Nikolai. Sorry.
He's got the best unusual swing I've ever seen.
Oh, it's pure. They're both unbelievable, those two brothers, the twin brothers, by the way. So they're going to be incredible. But Matt Wallace, four-time winner on the DP World Tour. I don't know if you saw last week at Valspar where he had the argument with his caddy.
Yes.
His French caddy, Samuel Bernard.
Hitting off a cart path for path. Some reason. Yeah, gave it to his French caddy.
Had a tight seven there. Did well. Yeah. And then the previous week, so in the...
Players' Championship?
Yes, in the Players' Championship. During the interview after he won this tournament, by the way, the Punta Cana Championship, he spoke about at the Players how he had 145 shots, missed cut by one. And two of those shots, he spoke nicely to himself.
Positive. So his positive self-talk was disgraceful for 145 shots.
143 out of 145. So it was a great effort for him because he is renowned for being a bit of a hothead, you could say. But anyway, great win for Matt Wallace. Aaron Baddeley, best of the Aussies, tied 46. So not a great week for the Aussies there. Asian Tour. Travis Smyth secured an open berth.
Roy.
So it was the tournament in Hong Kong where a Hong Kong golfer for the first time won on the Asian Tour.
Won the Hong Kong,
It was World City Championship it was called. It was fantastic. However, Travis Smyth, he gets a spot into the Open, which is brilliant. His first major that he's ever going to play at Royal Liverpool this year.
Yep.
He's also doing well on the Order of Merit over there. I spoke about the LPGA where Celine Boutier defeated Georgia Hall. With a bit of backstopping going on, but she didn't hit the ball, so that's okay.
And she became, this American term, the winningest French woman on that LPGA Tour.
That is correct, an outstanding player. Uh-huh. And on the Epson Tour, Gabby Ruffles, massive chance to go back-to-back wins.
Oh, you're kidding?
No, she was one shot behind playing the final round. Unfortunately, she shot her two over past 74.
Where'd she finish?
Still top 10, I think, and it was won by Miranda Wang, but she is number one on the money list over there, so really making great strides to get her LPGA card for next year. Now, locally, we had the Women's New South Wales Open at Foster Tuncurry Golf Club, where Momoka Kabori defeated the amateur Claire Shin in a playoff. So congratulations to the New Zealander, Momoka.
Yep.
We've seen her on some of the TPS events. Really fine young player, which is great. And then this coming week, you and I, we're commentating the National, the final event on the PGA Tour of Australasia, which is going to be big.
And we've got Stacey on, Stacey Keating.
Stacey's going to be with us.
She's doing the fairways, and you and Porter's in the commentary box with you and I.
Is he really?
Yeah, that's
I didn't know they were flipped it.
I don't know why they flipped it, but it's flipped.
Sounds great. But Dave Micheluzzi has already won the Order of Merit, which is great.
Excuse me, just on Micheluzzi.
Okay.
David, could you please pick up the phone? I've sent a couple of messages. I've called you. I'm trying everything I possibly can. Golf Australia wants us to interview you. So please pick up the phone.
Absolutely. So I'm playing the Pro-Am Wednesday, by the way. So that our podcast should be out before the Pro-Am.
You're playing the Pro-Am at the Nash.
I am. And you know what?
I didn't get an invite to play the Pro-Am at the Nash?
I'm playing with Elvis smiling.
Are you?
Bit of fun. And Wolfgang from BMW, that's going to be fun. And Gary Lisbon, who's the photographer who you probably know.
Gary Lisbon's a superstar.
So if you want to come and see a great left-hander, come and watch our group because Elvis is playing, not me.
We should chat to Smiley sometime.
We will. Yeah, we'll get Elvis on definitely. No, he's got a big career. He's got Clates on the bag too, so I'm going to be fascinated.
Get into him about what happened at 30th Beach, please.
At the Big Open, yeah.
Goodness
okay.
me.
I will.
What a call that was.
Anyway, it's on Fox and KO Sports.
Okay, time for the Masterclass.
I'm a champion!
So, Nick, you will remember my number one thing amateurs do that drives me crazy because they've watched it on TV. Well, there's no excuse because at the moment, less and less of the best professional golfers are using a line on their ball.
Are they?
For
less
anything more, using it for anything more than a six-footer.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a lot of these line guys and line girls who have been using it on everything. It's all disappearing. And I've done the math. So are you ready?
Please, tell me why. Because I have a theory on all this as well. But you go.
All right. So if you – quite often when I try and do it, right, every once in a while I'll do it just for the hell of it. And I'll line it up and I'll get over it and I'll go, that is nowhere near where I want to go. And that is just my feel because of the practicing.
Speed.
Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. So I did the maths. Right. If you are 1 degree out on a 10-metre putt, guess how much that 1 degree ends up being
by the
end of 10 metres, so a 30-footer basically.
Shall I take a guess?
I round it off to 20 centimetres.
Okay, I was going to say about a foot.
Yeah, so 20 centimetres, and just for being a 1 mil off. Now, the reason I think that people are now only using a line to align the ball on short putts is because I think it's half accurate if you're doing it and peripherally with your vision, you can see the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at the ball and peripherally you can kind of see where you want to go. So if you're going right lip, you can kind of see it.
Okay.
I think you can be half accurate. But when you can't see where you're going and you have to look up all the time, then down, then look up, then down at your ball, I think it would be very easy to be 1 degree off with that line. And that is, like I said, rounds out to 20 centimetres.
For a 30-footer.
For a 30-footer.
Wow.
So that means for a 15-footer, 10, you're missing by a million miles. If it is a 3-footer, so 3 foot, you're 1 degree off. That's 2 centimetres. So it might still go in if you're 1 degree off. But a 6-footer, that ends up being 4 and you miss the hole.
Wow.
So I personally think that the reason why so many players now will not use a line on long putts and only for short is because it's bloody hard to do.
Yeah. You know what would solve all this?
Go on.
Get rid of the line.
Yeah, get rid of the line. Get rid of the line. Anyway, look on our socials because I'm about to go outside here at Golf Headquarters where we're very lucky to do the broadcast from every single week. And I'm going to put some tees in the ground and show you for being 1 degree off over 30 feet how much you're going to miss that putt by.
No, can't wait to see it.
Have you got any more of this Chardonnay? Can we finish her off?
Yeah, I think we should, actually.
I'll see you next week. Good on you, buddy.
Cheers, mate.
Great show, guys. A big week in golf and an even bigger one coming up. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, if you could rate us and give the podcast a review, the way the podcast world works is the more people who do that, the more people get to hear the podcast, which would be great. We're back next week live from the Australian Golf Centre, home of the PGA of Australia and Golf Australia. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley from Kaizen Media. Sound designed by Daryl Misson of loudzebra.com.
Have you got Mika's number? Because I don't want to call him again. Can you give him a bell?
I'll give him a buzz. Okay.
And let's see if we can get him.
All right.
Because we got to pin him down.
Okay. Well.
Come on, mate.
It's ringing. Does he have? I hope he has a voicemail.
Pick up the phone.
No, it's still ringing. I'll tell you what, I might have to open another bottle.
This actually suits me because I was getting worried he didn't like me, but maybe he doesn't like
you
either.
Me either. Yeah, well, yeah. No, that's true.
Is it still ringing?
Cool.
Yeah, there it is. Bugger me.
No.
What have we done?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.